We all get our food from grocery stores, and we all take that food for granted. Even the fresh tomatoes and strawberries we eat in the middle of the winter. It's time we meet the people who provide us with all the food we take for granted, and we'll ask them, how do you provide us with all our food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned in to the, I think it's 1336th edition of the Food Chain Radio and Podcast. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson. And get ready for part one of a serendipitous stroll through the world of agriculture. Those who know me, and some of you out there do, know me as an advocate for local agriculture. I'm the author of a book entitled Metro Farm, which is the guide to growing for profit in or near the city for the city. I'm also on the board of Think Local First, County of Santa Cruz, California, which means we advocate for local food, local agriculture, local commerce. Got to take care of ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because nobody else is. And besides that, you know, I love to eat good food. And I'm of the opinion that the best food in the world comes from farmers who grew that food. And the best place to find that food is at the farmer's market. Because at the certified farmer's market, the people who grew that food are standing right there in front of you. You can look into their eyes and see what's in the food. Pretty special. However, I am also the host of the Food Chain Radio podcast. I'm fully aware of the fact that local food does not fill up the shelves of the supermarket. And so, without prejudice, I travel up and down the food chain looking for stories about what's eating what. And so, I do that without prejudice, too, because the good stories are everywhere. And so, I travel without prejudice looking for them. And so, you know, when a notice about the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California, crossed my desk, I thought about World Ag Expo. I'll bet there's some great stories there, don't you think? And so I decided to petition the World Ag Expo for a media pass, which they granted. And I prepared myself for a really big event. Let's see, over 1,200 exhibitors, 2.6 million square feet of exhibit space, 208,233 visitors from 56 countries. Going to be a lot of bumping butts going on there. And so it was good to have a media pass when you think about it, because otherwise you're one in just about one-tenth of a million. So got ready, and the folks said, you better show up early. So I took off and drove from my coastal enclave here in the Monterey Bay Area, which, as we all know, is the salad bowl of the world, and headed over the Diablo Coastal Range of Mountains into California's Great Central Valley. There really are two agricultures in California. There's the agriculture on coastal California, and coastal California is about as temperate a climate as you can possibly imagine. It always seems to be just right. Because as the Central Valley heats up, the air, that hot air, rises up, and it draws in that cool ocean air over the coastal plains. And it's just like nature's air conditioner. We have no air conditioner. Imagine that. On the other hand, the Central Valley gets really hot, and it's really a magnificent piece of geography, if you think about it. The Central Valley is really two valleys. The Southern Valley is called the San Joaquin, after the river that flows north from the Tehachapi Mountains. And the Northern Valley is called the Sacramento, after the river that flows south from the Siskiyou Mountains way up north. The valleys meet in the middle at the Great Sacramento San Joaquin Delta, from whence they drain into the Pacific Ocean and San Francisco. The Great Valley is hemmed in by mountains, including the Sierras, which capture the winter's precipitation in the form of snow, which then melts and fills the valley's rivers and streams and aquifers with water. I think the good Lord made California for agriculture, and don't think there is any place like it in the world. So we're always appreciative of that fact here in California. It was made to grow food with. Now, Tulare is in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, and as I drove through the miles of fruit and nut orchards which exist down there with their accompanying beehives, I marveled at the size. It seemed like one could fit all of the farms in the Monterey Bay Area into one of these giant Central Valley farms. It was just extraordinary how big they are. This is big agriculture, ladies and gentlemen. This is industrial agriculture. This is the kind of agriculture that fills up the world's supermarkets. I was told by the expo people that I better show up early so if I wanted a parking place, so I did. I showed up very early, zero dark 30. Thankfully, the press facility offered coffee and donuts. And those inside the event appeared to be event organizers, and everybody knew everybody, and everybody was happy to see everybody, and they were ramping up for the opening ceremony. It was showtime at the World Ag Expo. I did not know how anybody, and nobody seemed to know me, that's for darn sure. All those people there had been there for a long, long time, and I was the new guy. And besides that, I look kind of different when it gets right down to it. One person did catch my eye. It was an elderly gentleman who sported a gold VIP badge. He actually acknowledged my presence with a smile. And so when he said goodbye to everybody in the press facility and headed out the back door, I followed him out. And I found him sitting in a golf cart. So I jumped up in the seat next to him, and I said, "Hi, I'm Michael Olson. Who are you?" "So, Charlie," he said. "I'm Charlie." So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet Charlie Pitigliano, who, you know, in looking at him, you'd probably mistake him for the greeter at a Home Depot, but what a guy. So stay tuned. Here we go with Charlie Pitigliano.
Okay, we're here with a VIP. Now, how do I know he's a VIP? He has a badge that says VIP.
I got the badge.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Charlie Pitigliano. I'm from Tulare County. I'm a farmer from Tulare County down south.
Good.
We farm pistachios, almonds, cuties, all the row crops, wheat, grain, cotton. And we farm from Fresno to Bakersfield, so.
That's a very big farm.
That's a large area that we go through.
Good, and how long have you been with the World Ag Expo here?
I've been here, started in 76, took an absent for 5 years, because we were expanding our operation, and I came back in 81, and I've been here ever since. I've been the president of the board. I've been the chairman of the farm show once over, and I just stay active. It's a very good show. We just love it.
Why did they call it the World Ag Expo?
It's in the late 90s, we went internationally, because then we invited all the countries to come in. That's why we changed it. It was the first show was called Farm Show, to advertise your new equipment or your new products. Then we opened it up for international, and that's how we got the name.
What would people see if they were coming with us today to walk through the grounds?
The most important thing here this year is driverless vehicles, like tractors and precision planters that plants a plant every 4 inches or 5 inches. Everything precision, and a lot of new robots is coming to the show, like the
grape. Hey Dave, they're coming on the overpass now.
The grape pickers,
apple
pickers, all done by robots. That's the hottest thing right now, is the robots are coming. Next year there'll be more. 4 years ago, the robot came from Italy, the first one, and now all the big five equipment dealership are doing their robots. International, John Deere, Kubota, New Holland's, all the big five.
Do you think there will come a day very soon when we won't need farmers because robots will be doing all the work for us?
Well, I'm the farmer, so I hope you're not going to kick me out the pasture because of the robots. I believe the robots are more efficient. They can milk a cow by a machine, but you got to have that mentality behind them to press that key to start them and check on them, and that's the human being.
Looking forward, folks out there wondering about the ability for us all to eat. How do you see the future of food for us?
Well, I got my own personal idea about food. I feel like we should go back in the 40s and 50s, that our backyard is not a pool or is not a large area of grass to grow. I feel our backyard should be little miniature gardens that we can feed ourselves and use our water that we use to fill the pool up, to use our water to have groceries in our kitchen from the backyard.
Charlie, thank you so much for joining us today on Food Chain Radio.
Thank you very much for putting up with me.
What a sweet man Charlie Pedigliano is. I couldn't believe what a fortunate was move for myself to jump on his golf cart and say, "Hi, who are you?" Very interesting character for a number of reasons. Reason number one is illustrative of what the modern farmer is. Charlie and his three sons and his wife farmed 11,000 acres of some of the most productive farmland in the world between Fresno and Bakersfield, California. 11,000 acres. Doesn't do it all by himself. He's kind of like a modern contractor, somebody who's building like 48 houses in a row, and he has crews working all the way up and down his 11,000 acres between Fresno and Bakersfield. And he's a manager, and so drives up and down the road in his pickup truck and checks on things and runs things and makes big bets on equipment and land. And somehow he keeps winning long enough to keep going. And that's no small trick if you think about it. So when we come back, I'm going to take a quick break, but we're going to meet a very, very important person, one of the most important people around. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy meeting him as well. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson taking a serendipitous walk through agriculture. Right back. Welcome back. I am Michael Olson. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. And today we're taking a serendipitous stroll through the world of agriculture at the World Ag Expo in Tulare County and Tulare City, California. Really big show, ladies and gentlemen. 2.6 million square feet of exhibit space. 108,000 people coming from all over the world to see what the latest technology is in growing crops. A great place to see technology, but an even better place to meet people, which is really our mission today, is to meet the people who grow our food, that fill up our supermarkets with food that we take for granted. And we do take it for granted, don't we? I think so. And so today we're learning a little bit about what it takes to make that food that we take for granted from the people who actually do the job here in Tulare, California. This is big agriculture country. This is industrial agriculture. This is no fooling around, down to business agriculture. And so our first person that we met was Charlie Pitigliano, who farms 11,000 acres from Fresno to Bakersfield. That's a really big deal, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a lot of talent to be able to manage that much land. You have to make some big bets. You have to win at those bets to stay in business. And that's what Charlie and his three sons and his wife have done over the years. That started in 1975 with 275 acres, now is farming 11,000 acres. Wow. The other thing about Charlie was that he had a VIP badge, which is really cool. He, as we were sitting in the golf cart, he said, "Well, I'm heading over to the opening ceremonies at the Heritage Hall. Do you want to ride?" And I said, "Well, sure." And knowing full well what that meant, because as Charlie drove over to the Heritage Hall, there was a big line of people waiting to get in, having to go through all of that, what it takes to get in big events these days. But Charlie pulled around to the back, and we walked right in the door with nothing but smiles to stop us, and it was really, really cool. Charlie went about his business of being Mr. Big Cheese there, and he dropped me off in a whole mosh pit full of VIPs. I didn't know anybody there, so I was kind of looking around for somebody I knew, and finally I found somebody I knew who was a VIP of VIPs. And I'm sure you would know who he was, too, if you saw him. But before we go there, I'd like to make mention of the fact that, once again, that California is two different states divided by the Diablo Range. There's the coastal temperate California, where the weather's always just right. And there is the industrial heartland, where the big work, the heavy work takes place, where it gets hot and miserable. And yet where people persevere and do the work that it takes to get the food out of the ground and to our grocery stores. Two different kinds of characters, two different kinds of people, entirely different, as represented by the representatives from those areas. We take the coastal climate, the mild weather, the big cities. Who's a good example of the kind of person that represents that area? Well, of course, Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House of Representatives, is a good representative of those people who live on the coast. There you are. Central Valley, different kind of people, different kind of representation. Who best represents the people of the Central Valley? Well, let's meet a VIP who does. We have a very important person here today. He is?
Kevin McCarthy.
Congressman, how significant is this event for the Central Valley?
I think it's one of the most significant events for the Central Valley, but I think for the nation. I mean, people come from all over, not just the country, but the world. I mean, when you think about agriculture, what feeds the world, but more importantly, just this valley itself, the importance that it has to agriculture, but the future. The challenges are changing from water, from rising costs and others. That's why I think this time time at this moment you'll see the number of members of Congress here today, from the chairman of from the chairman of the Ag Committee. We got the Farm Bill coming up. We got David Valadao from Appropriations. We got a number of members. We're going to do a listening session here because I hope they realize the importance that we understand ag to be, but the Central Valley. We're going to take that directly to Washington and make a difference.
You folks in government going to be able to get the price of food down for all of us folks out here?
Well, you got to change the rising cost of inflation, and that's a battle we have with this administration that caused much of this inflation. So we're going to continue to battle because you know what? What's nice is we come from the Valley. We know the issues, we know the values, and we know what to fight for.
Well, there you go, Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. You know, there's something about meeting or listening or watching people on television, especially politicians, that kind of leaves one wanting more. Well, I'll tell you, meeting a politician
ready
in person,
to connect. Click connect to show now.
Goes a long way to seeing
you
what's
are connected
inside
the
their
host.
Head because you can look
Welcome,
into their
host.
Eyes just like
you are
you
now
do
in
at
the host
farmer's
room
market.
And can manage your callers
and,
from the Collins Studio web
what
interface.
They're thinking and where they're coming
Audio.
From. So there's two examples of representation. Kevin McCarthy's from Bakersfield, and he is a Valley person, and he is the person that is now representing agriculture in the Central Coast, and as such, he's representing even coastal California, which probably isn't too friendly to him when it gets right down to it. But that is the nature of politics, is it not? It's always fun to meet them, look into their eye, and shake their hands. So, you know, looking overall at the overall event of World Ag Expo, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of smarts to get 1,200 exhibitors to show up with all their stuff and their services on 2.3 million acres of space. But then, how do you sell 100,000 people to show up at the event? I've always admired people who do the marketing for events like this and had a great relationship with Steve Stagnaro at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. So for many years, when we got together at the fair, at the opening day of the fair, Steve would buy me lunch because he knows the value of schmoozing the press. And I gratefully took the bribe and did as good a job as I could for promoting the Santa Cruz County Fair. But here's a big fair. And so let's take a moment to meet the person who's responsible for getting 108,000 people to show up at the World Ag Expo.
This is Jennifer Fox. I'm the marketing manager at World Ag Expo.
Jennifer, what makes this place the World Ag Expo?
Oh, we have people from all over the world. Exhibitors alone, we represent 26 different countries. And so we're seeing the best in ag from everywhere. Our show is representing more than 350 commodities, and we're so excited to invite the world here to see everything that's new in ag and what they need for their operation.
Why here?
Well, it started in 1968. There were some farmers that thought, you know, we went to the Colusa show. It was great, but we could do that in Tulare. We think we need that. And so they brought it back, and they made sure that they brought what we need in this community and have grown it. They've been good stewards. We have volunteers that have been our chairman this year. He was at the very first show as a volunteer. And so they've grown it. They've been responsible, and the community has loved it.
Can you think of any place else on Earth that makes for better farming than California's Central Valley?
You know, I grew up here, I love it here, so no, I can't, but I also haven't been everywhere. Anywhere with a Mediterranean climate, there's only a few of them. We need to protect them and nurture them and make sure they have water because we're growing food. We've got to be responsible with it, but definitely we have great farmers who are doing great things and always looking to get better, so it's one of the best places to be.
Are you seeing good food in the future? Will we have enough? Will we be able to afford it?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think really with the pandemic coming out of that, it's changed a lot of things. So there's some right sizing that needs to happen. How that's going to happen, I don't know. But I would say as long as we can figure out how to use resources efficiently, appropriately, and fairly, and understand that our priority is to feed the world, and we can do that well, and we can always get better. But it's going to take some time, and there's going to be steps in between. It's not just here to 100 miles away in one leap. But we're working on it. We see it happening.
Who should not come to the World Expo?
Everybody should come. If you eat, if you wear clothes, you should be here. But it's I'll say the practical stuff. It's a walking show. It's we're do it in all weathers, all weather, just like farmers. So we think everybody should. It's a great place to learn.
Well, it is a great place to learn. You learn it from the people who do it, and you learn it from the equipment that you do it with. So wherever you look, there's something going on that's very, very interesting. Now, I think speeches from politicians and whatnot are very, very interesting for very short periods of time. So as the opening ceremony went on, I went out and I was really looking forward to just finding what's what at the World Ag Expo. So I just walked right out of the door, and the first thing I met just stopped me in my tracks. It was a machine that sat up off the ground. It was like about the size of two Volkswagens strapped together. And it was encased in aluminum, a shiny aluminum. And it looked like a Martian landed it. It truly did. It looked like, oh, for sure, a Martian landed this at the World Ag Expo. It sat up above the ground about a good foot and a half on wheels. And below it, underneath it, it was a whole bed of strobe lights were flashing. That's why I thought it looked like a Martian landed, right? Maybe 100 or 200 strobe lights underneath there, just flashing on the ground. And I looked at that for a while and I thought, what the heck is this? Well, let's find out.
My name is Paul Mikesell. I'm the founder and CEO of Carbon Robotics. Carbon Robotics makes the world's one and only laser weeder. We use AI cameras and very high-powered lasers to kill weeds in farm fields.
Weeding without people?
Weeding without people, and we burn them right at the meristem, so there's no herbicide spray, no chemical runoff, none of that, no cultivation needed at all. It just kills them with heat energy.
Okay, now, would you be so kind as to tell us how you really do this with all of those fancy words that you use,
sure,
like artificial intelligence?
Yeah, so the computer, what the computer is doing is looking at pictures coming in from cameras and using what's called a neural net, but it's a piece of just AI system technology that we've developed that knows how to see what a weed is and what a plant is that you're trying to keep, and will target the weeds with the lasers. So it's a technique in computer vision called deep learning.
Now, would this work for something, for example, like strawberry fields?
Sure, it works for strawberry fields. We have a number of different crops, about 40 crops today that we'll do. Onions, broccolis, cauliflower, spinaches, lettuces, radishes, etc. Sure, strawberries under plastic, we can shoot the little strawberry hole and not hit the plastic, all that stuff.
So what your cameras do is they first recognize what crop you're dealing with,
yeah,
probably, and then?
Yeah, that's right. You recognize what crop you're dealing with, and then find all of the plants that are not the crop and shoot them with the lasers.
Are you going to replace farm labor? So I used to be a teenage herbicide,
yeah,
myself.
Sure.
And would have loved to have a machine do,
sure,
the job instead of me. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to replace labor. Most of what we're doing is filling holes in the labor gap, where farmers are having a harder and harder time every year finding labor at a price that they can afford. And so a machine like this will help them do the job without needing to go down that path.
How did you come to this business?
Yeah, well, I started in computer vision and AI, believe it or not, and really love agriculture. And this is a really great place to be deploying robots, because we can go out there and do useful real-world work instead of building some other phone app that's going to, guess your horoscope or something. We go out there and we do real work with these machines.
And do you think it will make our food less expensive to eat in the future?
Yeah, it'll make our food less expensive to eat. It'll make it easier for growers to have a straightforward task, how to get rid of these weeds without worrying about labor prices, etc. And it makes it easier to make organic food if that's the path you're on, because you don't need to spray anything in these fields to kill these weeds.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Artificial intelligence to pluck the weeds. Hard to imagine that it could actually be possible, but it is. So let's really quickly go meet some of the women of agriculture. They're out there, and I've met them, and you can too. And who do we have here?
Good morning. My name is Sharon Zoller. I'm the state president for California Women for Agriculture. And we advocate, educate, and promote California agriculture for a safe and secure and sustainable food supply in California and for the world.
Well, you have that one down. But wait a minute. Why should women be for agriculture?
When 45 years ago, when we started out, and we started out in Coachella Valley, California, they decided not to say California women in agriculture, but for, because we wanted to have a wider opening for everyone who supports agriculture. Because if you eat food and wear clothes, you are in agriculture.
All of those women who live in cities, though, don't tend to think about agriculture very much. What would you say to them?
Really, we have quite a few women who are not on the ground in agriculture, but are in all kinds of support positions, from insurance to finance to all kinds of other kinds of promotion. As you see here at the Ag Fair, there are all kinds of different things that you might not think about for agriculture that is connected with agriculture. So we try to encourage all kinds. Men too. We have some men who are in our various chapters. We have 22 chapters up and down the state, from Butte County to Blythe. And we encourage and invite anyone who's interested to come and join us.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. We are taking a serendipitous stroll through agriculture at the World Ag Expo, and we're going to be right back with more people.
From our founding revolution to today's global war on terror, nearly 1 million men and women in the armed forces have given their lives in defense of our nation. Americans must remember freedom isn't free and is only possible because our fallen heroes have paid the ultimate price. Primo Roofing salutes those who serve and sacrifice by offering 100% financing for a new roof with payments as low as $150 per month. Contact us at PrimoRoofing.com or call us at 831-443-3605.
Hello, I'm Thomas Whitman, owner of Gophers Limited. For over 30 years, we have experienced limiting gophers and moles on farms, wineries, gardens, municipalities, all in the Santa Cruz and Los Gatos areas. We also design and manufacture practical fence protections that can limit the pests just about everywhere. Stop gophers, moles, and other pest animals without poisons. Call Gophers Limited at 831-335-2400 or gopherslimited.com.
California coast to the fertile valleys inland. Earthwise Land Service is your land's best friend. Earthwise can clear it, mulch it, move it, sculpt it, green it, drain it, or retain it any way you choose. Earthwise Land Service is your land's best friend.
Hi, I'm Hayward Robinson. I'm here with my wife, Joanna. We recently purchased a home in Aptos and have had Buck Denari doing cement work for us. We started mentioning other things that we were interested in having done and projects that we thought would take years to complete. Buck is very much a doer. Within weeks of our thinking about things happened. We recently hosted a party for my wife's birthday, and everybody who was here was overcome by all the things that we've been able to do and how wonderful it looked.
Earthwise Land Service is your land's best friend. EarthwiseLandServices.com.
You know, Billy, that 1 out of 3 people will get shingles in their lifetime. Did you know that?
Wow. Are you sure it's 1 out of 3, Warren?
Man, that's great news, because here at Knox Roofing, we have GAF shingles, CertainTeed shingles, Owens Corning shingles, Malarkey shingles, wood shingles, and steel shingles. Holy smokes! We give shingles to everyone that needs them, and we can install them on their homes with no pain at all.
Warren, I don't believe they're talking about roofing shingles.
Well, Billy, maybe if I advertise properly and install those quality shingles, Knox Roofing might just get one out of three people. Wowee!
Look, Warren, I believe you can give the best shingles to whomever needs them. But medical shingles, you really don't want to give those kind.
All right, folks. For anyone who would like to get shingles, give us a call here at Knox Roofing at 461-0634. That's 461-0634 anytime. Thanks, folks!
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What? And today we're eating up food, as we usually do on the food chain, and we're meeting the people who grow our food, that fill up the food that fills up our supermarkets. Where does that food come from? Who cares? We always take it for granted because it's always there, right? So we don't pay it much attention, but today we are. We're taking a serendipitous stroll through the world of agriculture at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California. Now, one of the things that I notice is that there is a difference in the roles people play on the coast. Going back to this theme about there being two different Californians, in the coastal California, the roles people play are pretty free. You can be whatever you want to be. You can even be whatever sex you want to be. But in the ag community of the Central Valley, as represented by the World Ag Expo, people were pretty much fixed in their roles as men and women. Men out in the field doing the hard work, women at home taking care of the business and running the show. Now, Charlie Pitigliano, who I introduced at the beginning of this segment, is a good example. 11,000 acres. Charlie's out in the field on the tractor. His wife is at home doing the books. At noon, they meet in the fields when she brings out a lunch so he can eat and keep on tractoring. And that's kind of the rule I saw throughout the World Ag Expo. And not the role you see in the city anymore. But it was interesting. So what the heck, let's meet one more of those women of agriculture.
Hi, my name is Sheila Bowen. I'm with the California Cattle Women's Association.
And you are?
I'm Grace Bowen, and I'm helping my grandma at the World Ag Expo.
Good. Now, California Cattle Women, how many cows do you have?
Well, my husband likes to say enough to keep us busy.
Good.
We represent the beef industry across the state of California, and our association has 31 units across the state, and our ladies are dedicated to beef promotion and education.
Okay, good. Now, let me ask you a very significant question.
Yes, sir.
What do you think of the Impossible Burger?
I don't think it can hold a candle to a good beef burger.
Good. Have you ever tried an Impossible Burger?
No.
Are you going to?
No.
How about you, young man? Are you ready to try an Impossible Burger?
Sure.
Well, there you go. A fun farm family. Fun to meet these people and just to say hello. But, you know, as I walking around the World Ag Expo, 2.6 million square feet, kind of get hungry. Lot of places to get food. And all of the places that were selling food were service organizations from throughout the Central Valley, you know, the Lions Club and Rotary and whatnot. Everybody had their booth and everybody was selling something and it sure looked good. But I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to stand in the line. I just wanted to keep going. Fortunately, there was a lot of yummy taste treats to be being offered throughout the exhibit area, most all of which came from the Central Valley. And one of them was in a very famous little red box. I'm sure you would recognize it if you saw it there. And let's meet the people who put the products in that little red box.
Steve Vasquez. I'm the technical viticulturist for SunMade, which is a farmer's co-op that's been around since 1912.
Now, people generally don't think of viticulture with raisins, but that's the essence of growing raisins.
Raisins come from grapes, and there's raisin table and wine grapes, and we happen to be in the raisin business, and we have about five or six varieties that growers grow to make raisins, and we sell quite a few of them at SunMade.
Well, what is SunMade itself?
SunMade is a farmer's co-op, so there's about 600 to 700 growers that make up the co-op. And the co-op is basically where growers grow for SunMade. They bring their fruit in, and then their fruit gets placed into a variety of different products that we have, and then we sell those throughout the U.S. and the world.
So SunMade then is kind of like a cooperative in which farmers can build a brand for themselves.
The main brand. So SunMade is the number one packer in the world for raisins. It's known around the world, the Little Red Box. Everybody knows the Little Red Box. And our growers are basically, the operation is in Kingsburg, California. And our growers are really within the four or five counties around Kingsburg. So Fresno County, Madera County, Kings, Tulare, and Kern County.
Would that be the heart of California's Central Valley?
That would be the heart of California's Central Valley.
And what do you get most there?
Raisins.
And sunshine.
And sunshine. There you go.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Raisins and sunshine. Now, thanks to Steve Vasquez and the good folks at SunMade Raisins, I had something to munch on as I was walking around the 2.6 million square feet of the World Ag Expo. I got to eat raisins. And you know what? They gave me a lot of energy. That couple little of the containers, those little snack-sized containers of SunMade Raisins, your parents probably gave you some to take to school with you. They worked, and they were full of energy, and a good energy. Sunshine, packaged in raisins, in grapes. Yum. What fun. So that was Steve Vasquez. And the other interesting thing about SunMade, of course, that really fascinates me, is that it's a co-op that's been around forever. And a co-op is how farmers work together to do something. And all of these SunMade farmers, probably generations after generation after generation of grape growers in the Central Valley, dry their grapes, turn them into raisins, take them to the folks at SunMade. SunMade packages them in their boxes and sells them to the world. And they've been doing that forever. And a great lesson in how to work together. So we're going to find some more of that as we travel along. So moving right along, we're going to meet now some people who talk about farm finances. Now, how on earth do you finance a farm? Where do you get the money to finance a farm these days? I mean, California is the most expensive place on earth, I think. And how do you get your hands on land? When you have to compete with the likes of Bill Gates or, you know, rich Chinese zillionaires who can come in and buy land and not even think about the price and not have to justify the price against the crops that are being produced on the land. So it's a tough world for farmers to go out and buy a chunk of land. How on earth do you do that?
Hi, I'm William Van Tassel. I'm president of Agribusiness Financial.
Agribusiness Financial, that means you have money.
Well, I'm a broker and I take my farmers to money. But yes, we're a loan originator and we do ag loans, farmer Mac loans up and down the valley, the Sacramento and San Joaquin Valleys.
Now, how does it work? How does the financing of agriculture work?
Well, you know, mechanically, from a structure standpoint, if you're familiar with Fannie Mae for houses, Farmer Mac is set up conceptually the same way. It's a first deed of trust loan on a farm, where a house loan might be 80, 90% loan to value. We can do 70% max loan to value. And the same, the process is very similar. You submit your financial information, tax returns, credit report. We order an appraisal. Now, for a house appraisal, it's maybe $500, and it's, you know, half a dozen or so pages. My appraisals cost more like $3,000-$4,000, and they're inch and a half thick commercial reports.
What information do they need to contain for farmers to get the money?
The information would be a list of your assets, your liabilities, and a farm budget, meaning you're going to go out and estimate what that farm is going to make in terms of cash flow repayment, because all lenders obviously want to know, even a house lender wants to know they're going to be repaid.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, how much food would we have to eat if there weren't people like you financing farms?
It'd be curtailed quite a bit, yes. Financing is just part of the system. It's just part of the system. In this business, in agriculture, we have a little joke that you either inherit it or marry it. And it's very difficult to get into farming because it's so capital intense. You know, the price of a pistachio orchard could be as high as $50,000, $60,000 per acre, you know, just to acquire the property. So generally, they need to use some form of debt to help them buy it.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Pistachios, $50,000 to $60,000 just to buy the land. That's all. That's all you get is $50,000 to $60,000 to buy a chunk of property. So that is the nature of California agriculture. Where, how on earth are young farmers supposed to get money enough to start their farms? Marry it or inherit it, and that's it. But there is a fallacy about that as well. It's called the family farm cycle, in which farmers live poor and die rich. So you go into hock to buy your farmland. You borrow everything you can and scrape together all the money, and you borrow it and you buy it, and then you struggle and you struggle and struggle through your life. But then you accumulate property, and by the time you're dying, you're rich in property. And so you turn to your kids and say, "Here, kids," and you give them the property. And what happens? The kids are stuck with the inheritance tax, and then you have to start over being poor and looking for the day when they can die rich. Huh. There you go. That's what grows our food, ladies and gentlemen. So did he say $50,000 or $60,000 to buy land to grow pistachios on?
I'm Mike with Setting Pistachio of Terrabella, located in the heart of the Central Valley.
What is it about pistachios that I like so much?
Well, Seton makes the world's best tasting pistachio, and they're just a snack that you can't put down.
Well, that's my problem. I can't put them down. So what do you put in the pistachios that make it impossible for me to put them down?
Pistachios are just water, sunshine, and a little bit of roast. There's nothing fancy about it.
Okay, what kind of nutritional value do they have, do you know?
Pistachios are a complete protein, and they have all 9 amino acids essential to body health.
Well, what's bad about them?
Nothing.
You can't put them down.
We can't put them down.
Thank you.
Well, and, you know, I've got to confess that I couldn't put them down for a while because I was still hungry. I had some raisins, and now I'm going to eat some pistachios as we walk along through the world of agriculture. And as we walk along through the world of agriculture, there's a lot of things that we, kind of a surprise. And I ran into a very interesting surprise that kind of stopped me on my tracks, and I thought, what the heck are you doing here? And here they are.
So my name's Colin Hazard. I'm an international trade advisor working at Invest Northern Ireland.
And my name is Sean Guinan, and I'm managing director of AgriHealth, a company based in Ireland.
Please tell us what the heck Northern Ireland is doing at the World Ag Expo here in the California Central Valley.
Okay, no problem. So Invest Northern Ireland is the economic development agency for Northern Ireland. So my job on the export side is to help our companies grow their exports. We've identified North America and Canada as our kind of priority market outside Europe for our agri-tech companies. And by agri-tech, I mean everything from agri-machinery to horticulture, to animal health, to software solutions. And we're here because the show's a great opportunity for our clients to meet new potential distributors, learn about the market, and ultimately, hopefully, grow their sales in the U.S.
Great. And what are we exporting from Northern Ireland to the United States?
Our main focus at this particular show is our FarmTrac clothing range, which includes, you know, boots, rain jackets, and also our clippers. We have a very prominent range of clippers that we distribute in Europe, and we're looking for distributors here in North America. So that's what our reason for being at the show here is.
Does it rain in Northern Ireland?
Very seldom. It's actually...
Well, does it rain in Northern Ireland? Very seldom. But it was interesting, they're selling boots, rain boots, in California, where it rarely rains, but maybe this year was the year to sell them. If you're going to sell them in California, this year was the year. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is our first segment of this serendipitous stroll through the world of agriculture at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California. It's not the last. We're just getting started. There's so many people to meet, and they're so interesting, and they have so many interesting technologies. It's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for the next edition. You know, it will be stroll number two through the world of agriculture. Thanks to the folks at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California. And thank you for tuning in. Remember Michael Olson's first law of the food chain. Agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. Thank you.